What's it all for?
Various artists.
Louise Bourgeois in Private View is a new exhibition currently on view at the Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. Louise Bourgeois, born in 1911, was a French-American artist with a career spanning 7 decades of her life, one of the great figures within modern art. She was best known for her large-scale sculptural works and installations, but also had a practice within drawing, painting, prints, and fabric work. Bourgeois' work often dealt with these psychologically charged themes of memory, family, the body, and the subconscious, commonly drawing from her own personal memories and childhood. Louise Bourgeois in Private View showcases work from a never publicly exhibited before private collection. This intimate collection showcases works that span over 6 decades of her career, from early paintings to a closer look at her iconic spider series, her sculpture of hanging spiraled entangled limbs, the couple, to later fabric work made in the final years of her life. A beautiful and intimate showcase of Louise Bourgeois' work through time. I caught up with Senior Curator of Global Contemporary Art at the Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki, Natasha Conlon, about the show. I thought we would start this conversation off by speaking a bit to Louise Bourgeois herself. For those who are not familiar with her life and practice, could you tell us a bit about her?
Well, Louise Bourgeois was a French-American artist. She grew up in France and lived there until 1938 when she met her husband, Robert Goldwater. And after a relatively short, in fact, courtship, she followed Robert to New York, where she resided for the remainder of her career. She had had art training in France and specifically in Paris when she went to the Lycée to study. Originally, it was with the intention of studying mathematics, but she turned to art and then studied in the ateliers of some reasonably prominent artists, for example, Léger, prominent cubist painter, and was intending at that point to establish her career in France. So it was really the catalyst of meeting Robert that meant she moved to America.
Mm-hmm.
Met him while she was working in a print shop, I believe, and he had come in and they hit it off and, yeah, there sparked a romance.
Wonderful. And Louise Bourgeois in Private View opened the other week at the Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki, which is Aotearoa New Zealand's first solo exhibition of Louise Bourgeois' work. And as well as being New Zealand's first solo viewing of her work, it is actually this specific collection's first public viewing. Could you speak a little bit about this particular collection of Bourgeois' work and why it hasn't been publicly shown before?
Well, it's a private collection belonging to a family, and like many people who collect art, it is really their quite personal journey, building a collection and designed for the home rather than for any other purpose, to live with the work and to establish a deeper relationship with that artist. And in fact, beginning in the early 90s, the collection grew from the husband and wife relationship and interest in Bourgeois' work, and really dates from the time that her work was being shown in Europe more regularly. Because before the retrospective that she held in 1982, she wasn't really well known outside of America even, in fact, even broadly in America.
Mm.
So she has this extraordinary history to the extent that she lived, you know, almost 10 decades. She lived till the age of 98.
Mm.
And 70 of those decades, she was a practicing artist. But it was really in the last 25 years that the majority of her work occurred and where her reputation was built, so from 1982 onwards. So which is why she has a slightly unusual status of being renowned as a contemporary artist for the period in which I work rather than a modernist per se.
Yeah, and such a wonderful opportunity to have that collection shown here for the first time.
No, it really is. It's quite a special opportunity to see an artist grow through the eyes of another person. It's quite different from working with a museum collection, which has a different way of being developed. You really meditate on what that person was interested in. That doesn't become the subject of the show, but it's very interesting as well, and quite unusual to develop such a large collection of one artist's work for a home rather than, you know, any other purpose for storage, or even, I don't know, if we have many examples of investment collectors in New Zealand of that quantity, but internationally it's also unusual to live with this many works by an individual artist.
Yeah, and this exhibition showcases a wonderful array and evolution of Bourgeois' work that spans over six decades of her career, from early paintings to an intimate look at her iconic spider series, her sculpture of hanging metal entangled limbs, the couple, to later fabric work that she made in the final years of her life. Could you tell us a bit more about these extraordinary works on the show?
Yes, so the show is not a blockbuster by sort of museum definitions. In other words, it's not about spectacle and scale and the everything. Rather, focusing on the collection, it was really my intention to think about that intimate experience with an artist's work. And in fact, there was an analogy for me that I really wanted to point to between Louise herself and the early years in particular of her practice, which the collection does represent really impressive examples of, in which Louise was working in her home, in her apartment in Manhattan, in the spare room, on the rooftop, on her dining table, and someone who might also acquire these works and then in turn live with them in their bedroom, in their dining room, and maybe not their rooftop, but, you know, the rooms of their house. And that feeling of art made within the home, you know, you often don't think about it then residing in another home. And it's quite a fascinating translation to me, particularly between one woman's work and perhaps another woman's home. Also, Louise Bourgeois' work can be quite challenging, so it shows a collector that has quite a breadth of appetite for sculpture in particular, which is quite hard to house. Yeah. A little bit about the range of works. Louise Bourgeois, when she first moved to New York, was quite heavily involved in painting. She painted a lot, and yet her painting has been seldom seen, because when she would have her first exhibition of sculpture, she really cast aside her life as a painter and said that, you know, she would not paint again, and she didn't, until her very, very last decade, where she returned really more to ink and liquid mediums. And the relationship that's visible in the exhibition between those paintings and some of the themes really help open up what she was interested in that time. I'm talking about the 40s and 50s. So that's quite a special aspect of the exhibition, to have these paintings and the sculptures that she first exhibited in the late 40s, which Louise referred to as the personages, because of their strongly anthropomorphic intention and shaping. And she also has, the collector has examples of two of her last series of exhibitions from the early 50s in that period of work. So that first room in the exhibition is really awash with works from those first two decades before Louise Bourgeois herself would take a break from art making, or at least art exhibiting, until 1962, where she came back into the foray as quite a different art maker. And the second room in the exhibition move to that period of her work.
Yeah, it's so wonderful having these works that span six decades in that same space as a viewer, being able to walk through her life in a way and kind of make those connections between her different work.
Mm.
Bourgeois's work also often deals with these psychologically charged themes of memory, family, the body and the subconscious, commonly drawing from her own personal memories and childhood. Could you speak a bit to these themes within Bourgeois's practice and how they are explored materially throughout her work in the show?
Mm. Absolutely. So after that break, or if you like, recess from exhibition making in the late 50s, Bourgeois had been involved in quite an extensive period of psychoanalysis and was, you know, practically speaking, going through that process, but also became really interested in what psychoanalysis could offer in terms of human expression, especially around its formation of archetypes, yeah? And so when she started to work with quite malleable materials in the 60s, the forms became expressive tools for forming different versions of these archetypes, by which I mean not so much symbols of objects, but big ideas expressed in geometry that for her had a direct analogous expression in psychoanalytic feeling or sentiment. So, for example, the layers, which she came to first in the early 60s, she described that form, a spiral form and a trap form, expressing different kinds of extremity of human emotion and thought. Taking the spiral, for example, she talked about how a spiral form could act as a kind of enclosure, thinking about a shape like a snail's shell, where a snail can safely retreat into their home, but also be a place that is where you can get stuck in, right?
Mm.
And quite literally, snails, it represents a kind of vulnerability and a safety. And it's these sort of dualisms that she explores and believes in regarding humanity. So the spiral is quite a powerful example of that, which she returns to in her last decade with work like The Couple, which is composed of two spiral shapes, or almost tornadoes over the upper torso and head of the body, and they represent two humans who are either trapped or embraced by these spiral shapes, but also represent different kinds of fields of expression that are either joined or powerfully independent. And these archetypes she really sort of focuses on for the subsequent decades and the rest of her life. And it reaches a critical head in 1982, around the time of her retrospective at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, when she releases an article in Art Forum magazine called Child Abuse, where she talks about a key or a fundamental story of her childhood that she says she returned to again and again and again for its ability to affect her adult life, but also as a powerful episode in her critical upbringing that she returns to in her work again and again. So this is a story of her father's affair with her tutor, who was a live-in tutor, and lived in the family home for a decade during a period in which Louise Bourgeois was really at quite a sensitive and vulnerable time of her growth as a young woman into, if you like, her sexual adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And in the exhibition, we include a short film which has Louise talking about this moment. And she narrates the story herself using slides and photographs from her family history. And it's partly an extraordinary story, not just for the facts of the events, but also for what Louise reads into it, and in turn how she analyses her work in relation to that narrative. So even with the spiral, for example, she talks about it really broadly in those almost metaphoric terms, but at the same time she talks about the spiral representing a figure of her childhood, a memory of twisting the tapestries in order to wring water out of them in the river behind the family house where she worked with her parents, who ran a tapestry repair business. But also, she says, when I make that spiral, it reminds me of my desire to wring the neck of Sadie, who's the name of the tutor. So one of the extraordinary things about Louise Bourgeois, I think, is just her capacity to think boundlessly about those desires and motivations, human motivations, which are composite in the human psyche, not all of them, desires that we want to admit, like violence and sexual appetite. And, you know, she really goes to many, many different ranges of human thought.
And this is such a wonderful opportunity for Tamaki and Aotearoa, having works from such a pivotal artist on show here at the Auckland Art Gallery. What are your hopes for this exhibition and the influence it will have on the buzzing art community of Aotearoa?
Well, one really fantastic point about the show is that it's entirely free. So because of the cost of bringing an international artist to Aotearoa New Zealand, we would often have to put a charge adjacent to it, which would really change the nature of the exhibition and change the way that our visitors use it. And my hope is that not only does an exhibition on a single artist allow our art-interested public to explore and meditate on that artistic journey and development, which was such a long and important one for the 20th century, but also to return at ease and according to whim, really, and see different aspects of the show in a less pressured way.
That was Senior Curator of Global Contemporary Art at the Auckland Art Gallery Toi o Tamaki, Natasha Conlon, speaking to me about Louise Bourgeois' In Private View, which is currently on at the Auckland Art Gallery until the 17th of May 2026. And note that this is a free exhibition, so go along and check it out. I would really recommend.